He's an RAF pilot. So we've been at Bryce Norton for a little while, but we have moved on. We're now at High Wycombe.
Well, I was just saying, it's quite indicative, isn't it? I mean, literally, our first question is, what does your husband do?
Well, I know, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But that's kind of the problem, isn't it?
Which is what inspired me to start the podcast series and The Independent Spouse, because I kept going to lots of dinners with him, nights out with him, and nobody really wanted to talk to me about what I did.
No.
But for my job, they just assumed that I didn't work and that I just followed him around.
Well, like you, so many people that marry someone military aren't military themselves.
No.
So you have never done anything to do with the forces personally. You are just entrenched in that life because you're married to someone in the forces.
Yeah, I just sort of got dropped in into it and had to sort of get my head above water because we kept getting posted.
Yeah, where have you been?
Lynham. So he was at Lynham when we met and I had my career there. And then we posted to Bryce Norton. Well, he was posted, I followed. Then Northwood HQ, and now we are at High Wycombe.
Okay.
Does he go away a lot on single augmentee kind of postings where he goes away on his own and you stay at home?
He hasn't done anything for a year by himself, but he'll do 6 months here, 4 months there, a couple of months, a couple of weeks.
And what was that like when he went away and you were there on your own?
Oh, rubbish, because I had chosen to follow his job. So we moved. I left my family and my friends and my lovely home, moved to Bryce Norton, and he wasn't around. And it kind of begs the question, why have I moved all the way from my career and my friends if you're not going to be here? So it was difficult and it was lonely. But eventually I realised that if I started my own business and got involved with that, it would kind of keep me busy and also keep my brain ticking along and, you know, get me involved in a whole different sort of network.
So just tell us what you did do professionally and what you do now.
Oh, so I started off, I was a children's book designer. So I designed Disney books and
books
for Nickelodeon.
That is a great job.
Really cool. And I won awards and I was doing really well. And then I met my husband, who is completely wonderful, despite the moaning that I will now do.
We'll let you get away with the moaning, that's fine.
And he got posted, and I just chose him, really, over my career. So I spent a couple of years sort of trying to go freelance and trying to be a designer, but then really went for it and spent my business.
You say you chose him. I suppose the point is you shouldn't have to choose one or the other. You should be able to have both, shouldn't you?
Yeah, but I think it was a logical decision. It just wasn't practical. He tried commuting for a year. He commuted from where we lived. So we lived in Bath. But with his flying, and he was so operational, it just didn't make sense for him to keep commuting. So we decided together. But it was for me to stop working.
Right, okay. So what does your business do?
Ah, so currently I am a graphic designer still. So I have my own design agency that I run from my married quarter, and I have a few people that work with me. We all work virtually, but I do lots of branding and corporate design, lots of brochures. I did the designs for the Military Wives Choir recently.
Oh, wow, well done. That's brilliant.
Yes, they're one of my, because I have two different charities. So I have the RAF Benevolent Fund and the Military Wives Choir.
Cool.
So I sort of donate some design time to them.
Right, okay. And, you know, what's so clever about your business is you can do it anywhere.
It is, yes. Well, I built it on purpose to be transient. Obviously, I'd still be designing Disney books if I could, but to fit around my crazy military life that I call the Magnolia Wall life, because
everything's Magnolia.
Yeah, I purposely built it so I can take it with me everywhere.
Can I ask you as well, obviously you're in a married military quarter. Were they cool with you saying, I want to do a business? And did you have to seek permissions and things?
Yes. So you fill out a form and you send it to Amy. And you also...
just Amy. She runs all
just Amy.
That. Yeah.
And you also have your husband's or your wife's boss, your serving person's boss, needs to sign it off as well.
Okay.
So what made you come up with the idea for the podcast? Because you're basically a businesswoman living in married quarters, and did you sort of start to feel like you're on your own a bit?
Well, actually, it was the opposite. I met, well, not in real life, but I built this network of other spouses that are running businesses that are just really inspirational, and I like them a lot, and they were doing so many amazing things despite the fact that their partners were away, despite the fact that they were looking after their children by themselves. And I realised that nobody was shouting about this, nobody was telling their story, and they really inspired me, so I thought that we should showcase this.
I listened to one, is it Helen Kendrick, the CEO and founder of Recruit for Spouses? Why did you get her on?
Oh, because she's just fantastic. What she's achieved with Recruit for Spouses and how she's changed the view of the spouse is brilliant.
In what way?
So I think that, well, from my experience of spending time with people that aren't married to anybody in the military, they kind of see the wife or the spouse as housewives or, you know, people that don't work. And it's just as naturally presumed that we don't do anything. And we
kind
just,
of subjugated a little bit.
Yeah, we just follow our partners around and, you know, bake cakes and make coffee. And but there's so much more to us. And, you know, whether it's not running a business or whether it's running a business, we have so many skills and we are such brilliant women and men, that we can do so much more. And she's changing the view of people and changing how people think about us.
So you're not a broadcaster. You thought, I know, I'll have a go at doing a podcast. How do you go about doing something like that? I think it's really admirable.
My theory has always been that if I can send my husband to the deepest, darkest, horrible bits of the world, I can do anything. And I've never done a podcast series. And it was an awful lot of learning and editing and swearing and jumping up and down. But it's just something that I'm really passionate about, and it doesn't make any money. There's no profit to it. It's just something that I thought needs to be done.
They're really good as well, aren't they?
I have to say, yeah, I was in the bath last night. That's when people listen to podcasts, I think. Yep. Quite nice to have a bit of company. And what I think you've got on your side is you've got a lovely voice.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
But you interviewed really well as well.
And you want to hear.
The one I heard, I thought was excellent.
You want to hear what you've got to say as much as the person you're interviewing, which is key.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because I just want to showcase us, because there's so many brilliant things for other people, and it's nice that the spouse has something for them.